Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome. You are listening to Secrets Revealed, Understand the Book of Revelation from Start to Finish. Merry Christmas. It is December 25th of 2022. We are talking about the seven plagues prophecy in the Book of Revelation. I want to begin with sharing with you why the Book of Revelation is so important. I want to begin with a prayer included in Revelation chapter 1. There's a special blessing that comes from reading the book of Revelation and hearing it read. I'm going to change my microphone. So today I want to start with that blessing in Revelation chapter 1 for you. I'm reading from the Amplified Classic Translation. It says, about the book of Revelation, this is the revelation of Jesus Christ, his unveiling of the divine mysteries. God gave it to him to disclose and make known to his bondservants certain things which must shortly and speedily come to pass in their entirety. And he sent and communicated it through his angel messenger to his bondservant John, who has testified to and vouched for all that he saw in his visions, the word of God, and the testimony of Jesus Christ. Blessed, happy, to be envied is the man who reads aloud in the assemblies the word of this prophecy, and blessed, happy, to be envied are those who hear it read and who keep themselves true to the things which are written in it, heeding them and laying them to heart, for the time for them to be fulfilled is near. And so, friend, Jesus Christ is the faithful and trustworthy witness. Jesus Christ is the firstborn of the dead, the first to be brought back to life, and he is the eventual and ultimate prince. He's the Prince of Peace and the ruler of the kings of the earth in the times to come. And so I want to begin with sharing a little bit about something unusual that God has put on my heart today. So a short while ago, maybe a week or two ago, I'm not sure exactly when, but sometime in the last week or two, a person that I subscribe to, a person whose channel on YouTube I subscribe to, he had a video on there where he shared a dream, and he has a YouTube ministry, and he was saying that the dream seemed important, but he wasn't quite sure of the meaning of it, and he asked if anyone felt led of the Lord to share with him what God gave them about his dream or what they believed his dream meant. And so I share my perception of what the dream meant. God gave it to me. You know, sometimes I hear a dream and I have a supernatural download of what the dream means. That doesn't happen to me often. I wish it happened every day. But sometimes that happens and it's amazing. I love when the Lord does that. Sometimes there's just a knowing. It's not a supernatural download, but it just opens up like you're just opening up a book and the meaning is there. So the take-home point is I feel led to invite you to share a dream. If you have a dream that you'd like to share with me and us here on PGN, if you could text it to us, the PGN text phone number is 1-214-505-8719. You don't need to share any background information. If you want to share your name and where you're from, you can, or you can simply say anonymous. All I need is the dream. So I don't need any background or I don't need anything other than the dream that God gave you. And I invite you to share that with me. If you can text your dream to our PGN text number, and let me share what will happen. You can say, this dream is for the Secrets Revealed PGN program. This dream is for the PGN Secrets Revealed program, Book of Revelation Research Scientist. That's me, Dr. Nicole. And when Prophet Randy Chandler gets it, he will text it to me. And then if it's live during the internet broadcast, I'll read your dream, and I'll share with you what God is saying to me, if anything. Now, it might be the case that the Lord doesn't give me anything, or he's quiet, or I don't hear anything. But it might be the case that that dream opens up to me for your benefit. So I want to invite you to share. If you have, maybe you've had a recurring dream that you've had over and over again, or maybe you had a dream that was really vivid and it's just staying with you and you'd like an interpretation. So I'm not promising that I will be able to interpret your dream. You know, God dreams have to be interpreted by God. So if you have had a God dream, God can decide if he wants to give the interpretation of your dream to me, to you, or to another person. And so if that happens, I would be thrilled and delighted to share with you what God is saying to me about your dream. So how do you do that? You can text in your dream to 1-214-505-8719. 24/7. That's 1-214-505-8719. You know, this program focuses on the Book of Revelation, and that's what I'm going to be talking about today. We're going to be discussing the seven plagues prophecy, but I just felt led today to do something a little bit unusual. Maybe we can start the new year off that way with sharing some of the dreams from PGN friends, family. Maybe you're new to listening to PGN. Whoever you are, feel free to share your God dream. Or you might say, I don't know if it's a God dream, but this is a dream I had. Not every dream is a God dream. That doesn't mean that the dream is bad, but not every dream is a God dream. Some dreams reflect our attempt to process what we've experienced on an individual level. Some dreams reflect God's lens on an experience we have had or are having. Some dreams are prophetic dreams, dreams that reveal the future using symbols and metaphors. So lots to say about dreams, but I do want to focus on the seven plagues prophecy. However, I have one more thing to get to before we get to that. So, and again, God has his way, hopefully with me and with you, right? Let the Lord have his way. One thing that I really don't like is when there's a church service or program and it's so structured, it's so rigid, it's so planned that God can't have his way. One of the things that I love, love, love about PGN is that God has his way. And I just thank God for Prophet Randy and for his wife, Julie Chandler, and the ministry that God has put under their leadership. And thank you for allowing me to be a part of PGN. One of the things that I do every week is I pray and I ask God, what do you want me to do with the program today? And so I allow the Lord to be in charge of what I am saying and doing with my time with you. And the Lord put on my heart today to share a specific dream here live to document this dream. This is very unusual. I have never, it'll be Actually, I think today is my 365th day being on PGN. The first program, I believe, was Sunday of 2021. Let me look that up so I can share. Let's see. The first Sunday in 2021 was December 26th. I'm looking at the calendar. Yes, so today is actually the 365th day of me being a part of PGN and doing the Secrets Revealed, Understand the Book of Revelation from Start to Finish. And surprisingly to me, the Lord put on my heart to share a specific dream, to document it here on PGN. So I had this dream on April 21st of 2019. And I want to share the dream, and then I'll say a little bit, and then we'll continue. So on April 21st of 2019, I had a dream, and wait a second. I forwarded the dream to myself on the 21st, but the dream is actually recorded in my dream journal on April 2nd. Okay, thank you, Lord. April 2nd, let me make sure I get it right. This is my first time documenting on this show a personal dream that I had. April 2nd of 2019 at 9:08 a.m., this entry appears in my dream journal. It says, I dreamed something about Kellyanne Conway and singing. Something she said or was singing was now a song on the radio. I'm going to read that again. I dreamed something about Kellyanne Conway and singing. Something she said or was singing was now a song on the radio. And I try to give every dream a title. I learned this some years ago, and that's very helpful. If you're a dreamer and you dream a lot of dreams, if you give a dream a title, that will help you to go back to it when it's relevant. So the title that I gave this dream was Kellyanne Conway Singing and Song on the Radio. So that was on April 2nd of 2019. I just want to, in less than 3 minutes, share briefly. I feel so strongly led of the Lord to share this. I believe it's the season coming up for this dream. And I don't know why this would matter to anyone, but maybe there's a question. So if you wondered, is Kellyanne going to sing? Maybe you wondered. Is Kellyanne going to sing? And my answer to that question, if someone asked me, no one's asked me that question, but if someone asked me that question, I would say, certainly. Kellyanne is going to sing like a canary. And when she sings, it will be on the radio. And what she is singing is so popular that they will play it over and over again on the radio. Okay, that's pretty much everything. I believe that the season of this dream is coming up. Kellyanne will sing like a canary. So you might say, what does that mean to sing like a canary? So according to dictionary.cambridge.org, they say that sing like a canary is an idiom. And informally, they define it as to give someone, usually the authorities, a lot of secret information, especially about illegal activities. So what does it mean to sing like a canary? To give someone, usually the authorities, a lot of secret information, especially about illegal activities. So that is the definition of sing like a canary. Yes. Okay, so a final point. I believe that the season of that dream coming to pass is here, and that will quickly come to pass. Okay, let us move on. I look forward to hearing from you. If you want to connect during the live internet broadcast, maybe you have a question about the Book of Revelation that you'd like to share, or Maybe you have a comment that you'd like to make about the book of Revelation. Maybe you have a prayer request. If you have any of those things, you are encouraged to participate during the live internet broadcast. You can do that. We are on live at 12 p.m. Texas time every Sunday. That's 12 p.m. Central time, 1 p.m. Eastern time. Also, we are on Tuesdays at 4 p.m. Central time, 5 p.m. Eastern time. I see from the statistics in blogtalkradio.com that many of you listen using Apple Podcasts. We actually have every week more than 100 downloads. I don't have the statistics in front of me. Sometimes there are hundreds of downloads from different PGM programs using Apple Podcasts. So there are lots of ways to connect. You can connect live during the internet broadcast, but the most important thing is to hear the Word of God. So you can put yourself on a schedule. If this live time isn't a good time for you, you can figure out when a good time is. And, for example, you might say Friday mornings at 8 a.m. is a good time. You know, maybe while you're taking a shower or while you're preparing breakfast or maybe during your drive time from work, you say, let me just plug into my cell phone and I'll hear from the archive the secrets revealed, understand the book of Revelation from start to finish. So maybe you do that every night when you're driving home. You know, you have a one-hour drive or a half-hour drive. So it doesn't matter necessarily from my perspective that you need to listen live to this program or to a particular church program. It just matters that you do it consistently. I heard one preacher say it like this, what you do daily determines what you become permanently. So I have found that consistently doing something, whether it's drinking water every day or praying every day at the same time or listening to my audio Bible every day, there's something about doing things on a schedule that is really good for us. So I encourage you to figure out how to fit PGN into your schedule on a regular basis. I love to connect to Wednesday Pray Over Unite. I listen to that and participate in it, I think, pretty much every Wednesday. There might have been a Wednesday or two or three that I missed here or there, but I don't remember missing any of them. It's just such a blessing for me. I also love to participate in Thursday Communion Night and that Sunday night broadcast. Sometimes it's with Angela Joy. Sometimes it's with Felicia. I think on occasion we might have had Terrence and Tanisha on Sundays, but usually it's Angela Joy or Felicia. That's a really good time. I love that. It's been such a blessing to me. So I encourage you to find ways going into the new year to connect to the Word of God, to receive the Word of God and ministry on a regular basis, so a weekly basis, a daily basis, a biweekly basis, something so that you are constantly getting that refreshing that you need. So praise God, and thank you for being with me and with us. I want to go right in now to the seven plagues prophecy. So the wrath of Satan, the 3.5-year great tribulation, is followed by the wrath of God. There are seven final plagues, which are the wrath of God. The first and fourth final plague reflect the wrath of God experienced by those who reject God, by those who choose during the Great Tribulation to take the mark of the beast and to bow down to the statue that bears the image of the beast. And the second and third of the final plagues reflect how God will repay those who have taken the blood, who have shed the blood of his prophets, of his saints. God is watching. And during the seven final plagues, which reflect the wrath of God, he repays the shedding of the blood of his people by giving blood back to those who have shed the blood of his people. So Satan has used his people to shed the blood of God's people. And so God gives Satan's people blood to drink as repayment. That will be what we hear when we hear the second and third of the seven final plagues. What else will we hear when we hear the seven final plagues, which I will read shortly from the New Living Translation? Plagues 5 and 6. So notice how they hang together. Plagues 1 and 4 hang together. Plagues 2 and 3 hang together. And then plagues 5 and 6 hang together. These are plagues that communicate we are very, very shortly about to experience the Battle of Armageddon. So the six final plagues are a signal from God that the Battle of Armageddon is shortly to come. The fifth final plague is a blackout. It's a blackout in a specific location, which is the location where the Antichrist has his headquarters. So the headquarters of the Antichrist will experience a blackout, a power outage. The sixth plague is the supernatural drying up of the Euphrates River. Why? So first God says, lights out. Antichrist, be aware that your power is about to go out. I am taking you out very soon. You are headed to the outer darkness. You are about to be thrown into the lake of fire. Lights out. Power down. That's the fifth and final plague. The sixth and final plague is a supernatural drying up of the Euphrates rivers for the purpose of providing a way for the armies of the Antichrist to arrive at the specific location where Jesus Christ wants to fight the war to end all wars, the Battle of Armageddon. When we are here, if you and I are here, and we see the armies of the world going across the Euphrates River, we know that they aren't going there to fight any war. They aren't going there because they're going to bring world peace and the world's going to come under the leadership of the Antichrist, who will say that he is the Jewish Messiah. No, he's not the Jewish Messiah. He is the Antichrist. His number is 666. And he, along with the false prophet, will go with the armies led by the kings of the world and the Antichrist and false prophet. The sixth and final plague is that supernatural drying up of the Euphrates River. And let me get to what happens with the seventh plague, which we're going to hear shortly. The seventh and final plague includes, but is not limited to, the Battle of Armageddon. So let's recap this so that you have the information in a way that allows you to remember it on demand. There are seven final plagues. The seventh and final plague, so they culminate. The wrath of God culminates with the Battle of Armageddon. So there's the return of Jesus Christ. That's the marriage of the Lamb. It's followed by the marriage supper of the Lamb, which is the Battle of Armageddon. The seventh and final plague, the wrath of God culminates with the Battle of Armageddon. So how do the six plagues that are before the seventh and final plague, how do they happen and how do they hang together? So plagues 1 and 4, what happens to those people. So how do they experience physically the wrath of God? So that's plague 1 and 4. We're going to hear that shortly. Plagues 2 and 3, the blood of God's people has been shed. And so to pay them back, God gives them blood to drink. He turns the waters to blood. First, the sea, the salt water. And then he says, just in case, he doesn't say this, but I'm saying it's an escalation. Just in case people thought, well, this is bad, but we still have the fresh waters. He says, no. I'm turning it all to blood. So first, with plague number 2, the seas, that water turns to blood. And then the fresh waters, the rivers and springs turn to blood. So we have the impact of the wrath of God on the people who have the mark of the beast. And then we have the repaying of them, blood for blood, blood for blood. And then we have plagues 5 and 6 saying, we are ramping up now. We are on the ramp. We're on the on-ramp for the Battle of Armageddon. Plague number 5, lights out, power down to the Antichrist. Power down. Computers off. Air conditioning off. Heat off. Power to elevators in a building off. When you think about it, we use power for pretty much everything. So imagine you're running the world from your headquarters, and all of a sudden you have no power. So that's a signal. That's a signal. Lights out, power down. And then the finger of God is saying, come here. Remember when you were a kid and you did something wrong? You ever had this experience? You're a kid and you do something wrong, and your mom or dad or grandma or aunt or uncle, maybe your teacher, takes that pointer finger, looks at you right in the eyes, and motions for you to come here with that one finger. That's what plague number 6 is. It's the supernatural drying up of the Euphrates River saying, don't look left, don't look right. Come here, straight to me. And so they are coming, divinely led by God, to the exact location where God will deliver his judgment to the enemies of God. And at the culmination of the Battle of Armageddon, the Antichrist and the false prophet are destroyed with the second death. They are thrown into the lake of fire. I want to share that with you. So the prophecy that gives all the details on the Battle of Armageddon, we talked about it on our last program on Tuesday of this week. If you didn't hear Tuesday's program, I encourage you to go back. We talk about the marriage supper prophecy. I read that. We analyze it and discuss it, as well as the seven plagues prophecy. But let's hear exactly what happens at the Battle of Armageddon. It says in verse 20 of chapter 19, and the beast was seized and overpowered, and with him the false prophet. And then it says later in verse 20, both of them were hurled alive into the fiery lake that burns and blazes with brimstone. And so the Antichrist and the false prophet will be destroyed at the Battle of Armageddon. The culmination of the Battle of Armageddon is the destruction of the first two of five enemies of God. The five enemies of God must be destroyed before we go to the new earth. It will take approximately 1,000 years. The first of the five enemies of God to be destroyed is the beast. That's the Antichrist. The mouthpiece of the 10-nation alliance described in the 666 Antichrist prophecy. The second The second is the false prophet, who is also thrown into the lake of fire. The third is Satan himself, described in the millennial reign prophecy. The fourth are all who are team Satan at the great white throne judgment, described in the dead judged prophecy. They are thrown into the lake of fire. And finally, according to the dead judged prophecy and 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 26, the last enemy he destroys is death. So in 1 Corinthians, we're told that Jesus Christ will destroy his enemy, our enemy, death. And in the dead judged prophecy, we get a report of when it will actually happen. And so today, we are talking about the seven plagues prophecy, and my goal is for you to know these prophecies so that you can recall this information on demand, so that during the great tribulation, when the wrath of Satan is being experienced, when day by day the power of the Antichrist will grow, his dominion will grow, his influence will grow, the war waged against both Israel and the saints will continue. But friend, the wrath of Satan is followed by the wrath of God. Satan rules through the Antichrist for 3.5 years only. Now, when we're going through it, it will feel like a long time. And there will be those people who wish to pray away the great tribulation, to pray away the Antichrist, but it isn't going to happen. According to the 666 Antichrist prophecy, verses 9 and 10 of chapter 13, our instruction during the great tribulation is not to pray away the Antichrist. It says that we are to have the patience and the faith and fidelity of the saints, God's people. It says, I'm going to read it, if anyone is able to hear, let him listen. Whoever leads into captivity will himself go into captivity. If anyone slays with the sword must he be slain. Herein is the call for the patience and the faith and fidelity of the saints, God's people. We aren't called to wage war with tanks or guns or bombs or other weapons. We are not called to war against the Antichrist in the natural. Now, why is God telling us this? Certainly, there will be people who say, they're trying to take out Christians. We need to form our own armies. We need to battle against this. We need to this or that. But in the 666 Antichrist prophecy, right in the middle of the height of the Great Tribulation, the instruction is provided to us. And that instruction says, he who is slain by the sword must be slain. We're called to have the faith and fidelity that God has given to us, confidence in God. So what does that mean? How does that lead us to the seven plagues prophecy? Confidence in God includes knowing that the wrath of Satan, the great tribulation, is indeed for a short season only. It is followed by the wrath of God. Let's hear it now. So what happens after 3.5 years of crisis like the earth has never seen? What happens after we have lost some of our wonderful prophets and saints because they have given their testimony, because they have preached the word of God, because they have refused to take the mark of the beast? Let me share that with you briefly. I just feel led to share very briefly. In Revelation 20, verse 4, John talks about those of us whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, how we are here during the Great Tribulation, but how we don't take the mark of the beast. Here it is, verse 4 of Revelation 20. John says, "Then I saw thrones, and sitting on them were those to whom authority to act as judges and to pass sentence was entrusted. Also," here it is, "also, I saw the souls of those who had been slain with axes, beheaded for their witnessing to Jesus and for preaching and testifying for the word of God." And what else did they do? "And who had refused to pay homage to the beast or his statue and had not accepted his mark or permitted it to be stamped on their foreheads or on their hands." So during the Great Tribulation, you and I and every good fish, every sheep, every person who's a part of the wheat, every believer will refuse to take the mark of the beast. Some of us will survive, and as described in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, we'll be changed in the blink of an eye. So we'll be in this mortal body, and in the blink of an eye, we'll transition to our glorified body. Some of us will experience the first death, which is simply to fall asleep. But certainly, according to the book of Revelation, this important secret is revealed. There are those of us who will be here during the Great Tribulation. The first resurrection hasn't happened yet. How do we know it hasn't happened yet? We know from Revelation 20, verse 4. We know from several scriptures. But Revelation 20, verse 4, let me read that part again. "Also I saw the souls of those who had been slain with axes, beheaded for their witnessing to Jesus and for preaching and testifying for the word of God, and who had refused to pay homage to the beast or his statue and had not accepted his mark or permitted it to be stamped on their foreheads or on their hands. And they lived again and ruled with Christ the Messiah 1,000 years. So, friend, we don't need to fear the Great Tribulation. Many of us will live right through it, and we're going to change in the blink of an eye, transitioning from mortal to immortal. We must put on our imperishable body. But if you do perish on account of your witnessing, if I do perish on account of my witnessing, and refusing to take the mark of the beast, it won't be long before I'm back. The Great Tribulation is only 3.5 years. It's only 3.5 years, and it's followed by the wrath of God. So let's get to our seven plagues prophecy. We're going through the Great Tribulation, you and me and other saints. And it is a time that's very challenging. When we look on the news, we're going to see the Antichrist ruling and reigning. We're going to see the church being persecuted. We're going to see false miracles being performed by the false prophet. We're going to see the harlot church growing and expanding. We're going to see believers falling away because they will take the mark of the beast. They will listen. Some will. It's going to be a very difficult time. So part of us having faith and fidelity, confidence in God, and I want to share a definition of fidelity, is knowing that these seven plagues are coming. There's something for us to look forward to, something for us to look at to give us confidence that God is watching. And as the Bible says, vengeance is the Lord's. Now, fidelity is defined as faithfulness to a person, cause, or belief, demonstrated by continuing loyalty and support. So during the Great Tribulation, We are called to be faithful to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to demonstrate our belief in the Word of God, to continue to be loyal to God, to stand strong in our faith. So, what will happen after the Antichrist rules and reigns for 1,260 days, as described in Revelation chapter 12 and also in Revelation chapter 13? Here it is. I'm going to read the full report of the seven plagues prophecy, but I want to start with the movie trailer in words. Verse 15, so if you wanted to look only at the movie trailer in words, that's called in professional writing an abstract. Every statement of prophecy in the book of Revelation begins with an abstract, and it's followed by a full report. That's the same format we see in professional writing for all complex nonfiction reports. Amazingly, thousands of years ago, this format was utilized in the culminating book of the Holy Bible, the book of Revelation. We see it being used beginning with verse 1 of chapter 5 of the book of Revelation and ending with verse 5 of chapter 22. So here's the movie trailer in words, the short version. Then I saw chapter 15 of the book of Revelation. Then I saw in heaven another marvelous event of great significance. Seven angels were holding the seven last plagues, which would bring God's wrath to completion. I saw before me what seemed to be a glass sea mixed with fire, and on it stood all the people who had been victorious over the beast and his statue and the number representing his name. They were all holding harps that God had given them. And they were singing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb. Great and marvelous are your works, O Lord God the Almighty. Just and true are your ways, O King of the nations. Who will not fear you, Lord, and glorify your name? For you alone are holy. All nations will come and worship before you, for your righteous deeds have been revealed. Okay, I don't have a good tune there. But that's the song. And then it continues. Then I looked and saw that the temple in heaven, God's tabernacle, was thrown wide open. The seven angels who were holding the seven plagues came out of the temple. They were clothed in spotless white linen with gold sashes across their chests. Then one of the four living beings handed each of the seven angels a gold bowl filled with the wrath of God, who lives forever and ever. The temple was filled with smoke from God's glory and power. No one could enter the temple until the seven angels had completed pouring out the seven plagues. There you have it, the movie trailer in words. So we heard that the seven plagues would bring God's wrath to completion. And we heard that seven angels are going to complete pouring out the seven plagues. Now in chapter 16, let's hear it. Let's hear the full report of the seven plagues prophecy. It's chapter 16 in its entirety. Reading from the New Living Translation, it says, "Then I heard a mighty voice from the temple say to the seven angels, 'Go your ways and pour out on the earth the seven bowls containing God's wrath.' So the first angel left the temple and poured out his bowl on the earth, and horrible, malignant sores broke out on everyone who had the mark of the beast and who worshipped his statue. Then the second angel poured out his bowl on the sea, and it became like the blood of a corpse, and everything in the sea died. Then the third angel poured out his bowl on the rivers and springs, and they became blood. And I heard the angel who had authority over all water saying, 'You are just, O Holy One, who is and who always was, because you have sent these judgments since they shed the blood of your holy people and your prophets. You have given them blood to drink. It is their just reward. And I heard a voice from the altar saying, yes, O Lord God, the Almighty, your judgments are true and just. Then the fourth angel poured out his bowl on the sun, causing it to scorch everyone with its fire. Everyone was burned by this blast of heat, and they cursed the name of God who had control over all these plagues. They did not repent of their sins and turn to God and give him glory. Then the fifth angel poured out his bowl on the throne of the beast, and his kingdom was plunged into darkness. His subjects ground their teeth in anguish, and they cursed the God of heaven for their pains and sores. But they did not repent of their evil deeds and turn to God. Then the sixth angel poured out his bowl on the great Euphrates River, and it dried up so that the kings from the east could march their armies toward the west without hindrance. And I saw three evil spirits that looked like frogs leap from the mouths of the dragon, the beast, and the false prophet. They are demonic spirits who work miracles and go out to all the rulers of the world to gather them for battle against the Lord on that great judgment day of God the Almighty. Look, I will come as unexpectedly as a thief. Blessed are all who are watching for me, who keep their clothing ready so they will not have to walk around naked and ashamed. And the demonic spirits gathered all the rulers and their armies to a place with the Hebrew name Armageddon. Then the seventh angel poured out his bowl into the air, and a mighty shout came from the throne in the temple, saying, "It is finished." Then the thunder crashed and rolled, and lightning flashed, and a great earthquake struck, the worst since people were placed on the earth. The great city of Babylon split into three sections, and the cities of many nations fell into heaps of rubble. So God remembered all of Babylon's sins, and he made her drink the cup that was filled with the wine of his fierce wrath, and every island disappeared, and all the mountains were leveled. There was a terrible hailstorm, and hailstones weighing as much as 75 pounds fell from the sky onto the people below. They cursed God because of the terrible plague of the hailstorm. There it is, the wrath of God brought to completion with the Battle of Armageddon. So what will we talk about in 2023? Notice that the culmination of the wrath of God happens with the pouring out of the seventh and final plague. And so it includes the Battle of Armageddon. It includes judgment on the great city of Babylon. Now, where are these things discussed in the Bible? Two places that have detailed reports of what happens when the seventh and final plague is poured out. So first of all, let's talk about the harlot church. The harlot church. So in Revelation it says, come out from among her, my people, so you will not partake of her plagues, the plagues that God will visit upon her. Let me read that scripture exactly. But let me share first. So if you want to know more details about, well, what's happening with God's judgment, God's wrath on the great city Babylon, it's described in the purple and scarlet prophecy in the book of Revelation, and the Battle of Armageddon is described in the marriage supper prophecy in the book of Revelation. So here in the seven plagues prophecy, we have a picture of the wrath of God in its entirety, but we don't have that zoom in, that drill down, that full documentary on specifically the Battle of Armageddon, nor do we have the full report specifically on the judgment of the harlot church and the great city Babylon. However, those statements of prophecy are in the book of Revelation. So all of the statements of prophecy focus on the events leading up to the second coming of Jesus Christ, as well as a few focusing on the events that happen after the second coming. All centers on the revealing of Jesus Christ. So when Jesus Christ came at time one, he came as the Lamb of God, but at time two, he's coming as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And these seven plagues are serious. They are serious. So if you want to know about the harlot church, let me share with you in Revelation 18, chapter 18, it says, in verse 4, I then heard another voice from heaven saying, come out from her, my people, so that you may not share in her sins, neither participate in her plagues. For her iniquities, her crimes and transgressions are piled up as high as heaven, and God has remembered her wickedness and her crimes and calls them up for settlement. I'm going to pause there. In verse 8, it says, so shall her plagues, afflictions, calamities come thick upon her in a single day. Then at the end of verse 8, it says, for mighty is the Lord God who judges her. So let me share very briefly. We are going to be talking about this seventh and final plague because the eighth and ninth statements of prophecy in the book of Revelation focus on the events following the pouring out of the seventh and final plague by an angel. And those events include both judgment of the city of Babylon and the harlot church that will be under the leadership of the false prophet as described in the 666 Antichrist prophecy in Revelation 13. But what happens to the false prophet and the harlot church that he is leading? That is described in the purple and scarlet prophecy. And in August of 2023, we will spend every program talking about the purple and scarlet prophecy. I'm going to read it to you, and I'm going to discuss it and analyze it verse by verse. You will know all about the purple and scarlet prophecy, Rome, Babylon the Great. Due to time constraints, I won't be able to share everything I want to share, but we will be talking about it. I just want to give you a heads up. And the marriage supper prophecy, the Battle of Armageddon, we talked about it on Tuesday of this week. If you want to go back to the archive, that is December 20th of 2022. And next year in January, we'll begin with talking about the seven seals prophecy. In February, we'll be talking about the seven trumpets prophecy. In March, the 1,260 days prophecy. And we will continue that way until we get to December of 2022, culminating with the new earth prophecy in the book of Revelation. So we're going from start to finish. We're going from start to finish with all the statements of prophecy. Importantly, I want to highlight, and I want you to get ready. I want you to get ready for learning about what the Word of God has to say about the events following the pouring out of the seventh and final plague. What does God say about the city of Babylon and how he will judge her? Who is the rider of the beast? What is the harlot church? Who wears the purple and scarlet colors? What are these islands that God is talking about and how they're going to disappear? It's all described. Those secrets are there waiting for our discussion, God will unlock those secrets, I believe, as we look at the purple and scarlet prophecy, and we'll be talking about the Battle of Armageddon. If you want to know about the Battle of Armageddon and who will be there, how it's going to happen, we're going to look at that in great detail in September of next year. So lots to look forward to in 2023. I want to end with reminding you that this is the 365th day of us having this program, Secrets Revealed, Understand the Book of Revelation from Start to Finish. Unusually, God put on my heart to extend the invitation to you and to all listeners to send in your dream. One of the things that God has given me is a gift for dreams, for dreaming, and for interpretation. Am I a dream analyst? No. God dreams can only be interpreted by God, in my opinion and in my experience. However, sometimes God does give me the meaning for the dreams of some people. I shared an interpretation God gave me for a man of God on the internet this week, and he wrote back that it was a real blessing for him, and he thanked me for that. And yeah, that's happened before, and I just felt led to extend that invitation to you. So if you have a dream and you'd like to share it with me and us, you can text your dream to 1-214-505-8719. You can say, this dream is for Secrets Revealed. Prophet Randy Chandler will send that to me, and on an upcoming internet broadcast, I will share your dream, and I will share, number one, if God has given me an interpretation, and if he hasn't, I will say that. Sometimes that happens, but if he does give me an interpretation, I will share that too. So I encourage you to do that. If the Lord leads you to do that, you can text your dream to 1-214-505-8719. When you text your dream, please only text the dream. So just text the dream. Please don't text any interpretation. I don't need any background information at all. So I don't need you can share your name and where you're from if you like. You can say it's from anonymous, or you can give your name, or but please only the dream, because I have found that that's what you know, that's the part that God has given you. And so I want to focus on what the Lord has shared and respond to that rather than to other things which might be and often are just tangential or not exactly what God has communicated. So I'm excited to get a chance to communicate with the people of God about dreams. If you were not here at the beginning of our time today, I did share a dream and the meaning of it with respect to Kellyanne Conway. I believe the season of that dream coming to pass is coming up. That dream happened on April 2nd. I forget what year now. Let me see if I still have the dream up. I had that dream on April 2nd of 2019. Here it is, 2019, 2020, 21, 22. Almost 4 years later, about 3 years and 9 months later, I believe the season of that dream is about to come to pass. So if that's of interest to you, please make sure you get a chance to hear it. I want to say thank you for being with me and with us today. If you haven't done so already, I encourage you to do it today and every day. Call out to God according to Jeremiah 33:3, because he will share with you great and mighty secrets that you do not know.